Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the one we call the Prince of Peace.
Thank you.
Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Especially if you're here for the very first time, we're pleased that you're with us. And those of us who are here week in and week out would love to meet you, shake your hand, welcome you. So we'll be seeking out folks that we don't know to introduce ourselves, won't we? Need to see more heads nodding, yes. And if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come introduce yourselves to us, because we do want to know you, and we'd love it if you would make a home here with us. One important way to do that is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of those opportunities listed in the bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few. First of all, our Christmas Eve services are coming up. There's a family service at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and then the traditional Christmas service of Holy Communion at 10:30 p.m. You can park for either of those services in the Caterpillar Building parking garage. For those of you who are regulars here and can do that, it frees up spaces here for our guests who might not know to park there or might not be able to park there. So if you can park in that garage, you can access it right off of West End Avenue. Also, the offices here at the church will be closed Thursday and Friday in honor of the Christmas holiday. We will have our traditional Tazay service on New Year's Eve at 6:30 p.m. in the four-story theater around the Labyrinth. If you've never taken part in that, it is a wonderful way to help make that transition from one year to the next. Today is our last day for our missions market. If you haven't had a chance to take part in that, you'll see the table set up in Reed Hall. You can go out and learn about some of the missions, some of the ministries we're involved with, and you can purchase items that help support those ministries. Also, we have a mission team going to Guatemala in April. You can find out more information about that in your bulletin. And if you need more, you can call Lisa Guak here at church. And then three reminders. First of all, next Sunday we will only have one service, and it will be at this time. It will be an 11 a.m. service. That has been our tradition here at West End for several years. And if you pledged for 2014, please complete your pledge. If you haven't pledged for 2015, please pledge for 2015. We depend upon and are deeply grateful for your generosity. Did you ever feel like you needed to talk to somebody, but not just anybody? Somebody special, somebody who might understand, somebody who's been through what you've been through? Well, today we're going to hear a story about a young woman, a girl really, pregnant, out of wedlock, who needs to find someone to talk to. Stick around, you'll find out who she finds, what she says.
Welcome in the name of our loving Creator. We gather to magnify and exalt God's holy name. Gathered here, we grow in our awareness of God's redeeming love. Our souls magnify the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior. Thanks be to God.
We light this fourth candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Micah. Escuchen las palabras del profeta. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Despite God's faithfulness, we still fall short in responding to God's call on our lives. Join me now in our prayer of confession. Holy God, you promised to do great things for us, yet we do not trust you. You extend your mercy to us, yet we do not trust you. You lift up the humble. You fill the hungry with good things. And yet we still do not trust you. Forgive us and help us trust in the promises you have given us. Help us to trust you and each other in all that we do. In the name of Christ. Amen. We will sing about the wonders of your love forever, O God. We will proclaim your faithfulness to everyone we meet, young and old. For your merciful love lasts forever, as constant as the heavens above. Blessed are those who trust in you, who walk in the light of your presence.
Glory be to the Father.
Let us pray together our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her for about 3 months. Then they returned home. And this is the word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated. And if there are other youngsters who'd care to come down and join us, you're welcome to come. If you want to bring a parent, that's okay too. Yeah, come on, have a seat with us here. Good morning. You see this thing that I'm wearing? It's called a stole. Now, I'm wearing a robe, but this particular purple thing is called a stole. I wear it because I'm a pastor. John wears one, you see, because he's a pastor. And they're purple because the season is Advent. But this is a very special stole for me. I'm going to tell you about it. Last week, I talked about a man who went to Japan and fell in love with Japanese people and culture. And because of that, he was able to do something really, really important. Well, I have a good friend who I met years and years and years and years ago, right across the street in Barnard Hall. We were both beginning our second year of college. We happened to be put on the same hall in the dormitory, and we became really, really close friends. His name is Gary Barbary, and he fell in love with everything Japanese. He wanted to learn the language, he wanted to learn the culture, and ultimately he fell in love with a woman whose family had come from Japan, and they married. He has been a pastor for all these years, and he has served Japanese-speaking churches. Now, these may be folks who have come directly from Japan, or it may be that their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents came from Japan. But he served those churches. And he gave me this stole and told me a little bit about it. One of the things that makes it so special is the bird here. You see the birds on here? These are cranes. And in Japan, the crane is a symbol of peace, of people getting along with each other, of not doing mean things to each other or saying ugly things to each other. And so this is a reminder when I wear it this season, the crane is a reminder of the Prince of Peace, of Jesus. And it's also a reminder of my friend, Gary. Now, Gary's the kind of friend that even though we don't see each other a lot, because he lives in California and I live here, whenever we talk to each other or whenever we email each other, it's like no time has gone by at all. We are close friends like that. He's the kind of friend I could talk to about just about anything. Now, I'm going to be talking about a story, and the story was just read, about Mary, who finds that she's going to have a baby, but she doesn't have a husband, and she needs a friend. So she goes to her cousin, Elizabeth, who can be her friend, because you see, Elizabeth is going to have a baby, but she had wanted one for a long, 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 long time, and nobody ever thought she would have one. But now she is. And she's just a little further along the way than Mary is. So Mary is going to visit Elizabeth and talk to her and live with her for a while. That's what friends can do. Now, as you hear that story, you'll be able to follow right along and know what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you for giving us good friends, O God. Thank you for being our friend and showing that friendship in Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. As you heard in the song, the hymn we just sang, and the children's story, Mary had some really good reasons for getting out of Nazareth. She was pregnant, but she wasn't married. So perhaps she wanted to escape from the prying eyes and the acid tongues of her neighbors. I think I would. Perhaps she wanted to go visit someone to whom she could talk, who knew a little bit more about what was going on than she did. Because you see, when the angel came to announce that she was going to have a child, he also says to her that her kinswoman, her cousin, let's say, Elizabeth, who had wanted a child for years and years and years and years, was finally going to have one, and she was 6 months ahead of Mary in that process. So perhaps she made that long journey from Galilee down to the Judean hill country in order to escape something, but also to find something. To find someone who would understand. Now, Luke gives us a clue as to what she was thinking along the way. Mary would not have traveled by herself. She would have traveled with a male companion, probably a relative, a father or a brother or someone. And along the way, I don't know if she talked to her traveling companion about this or if she kept it to herself, but the clue that Luke gives us is that Mary is going to sing a song when she arrives at Elizabeth's house that is very much like a song we heard several weeks ago in the story of Hannah. Hannah's situation is like Elizabeth's. Hannah had wanted a child. She finally has a child, but she has promised to give that child back to the service of God. Elizabeth, too, had wanted a child. Finally, having a child, he's to be a Nazarite. He is to be given back to the service of God. Mary, very likely, I think, was remembering Hannah's song as she traveled that long way from Nazareth down to the hill country of Judea, down near Jerusalem. Because her song reflects so many of the same themes that Hannah's song does. We'll get to that in a minute, though. Galileans were not necessarily welcomed in Judea. You know, there was only one place in the world where you could worship properly, and that was the temple in Jerusalem, where you could offer sacrifices to atone for your sins. And so the closer you lived to the precinct of the temple, the more religious you were. And of course, Galilee was way up north. And so when Mary comes down, she speaks with a different accent. You know how those people who come from up north talk? They have an accent. We don't, right? She would have been considered perhaps less religious for living further away. After all, she is going to have a baby. She's not married. Zechariah serves at the temple. He is a person of position and status, which would mean that Elizabeth, too, was a person of position and status. Mary was the lowest of the low, a peasant girl from up in the north, pregnant, unmarried. But Elizabeth welcomes her. Not only does she welcome her, but she offers blessing all around. As soon as Mary enters the house where Elizabeth is and offers a greeting, the baby that Elizabeth is carrying, whom we come to know is named John, kicks. Now, I don't know if it's the first kick she's felt or just the strongest kick she's felt, but she interprets that as her child leaping for joy in the presence of Mary's child. The child of an unmarried, pregnant teenager. And so, Elizabeth starts offering blessings all around. Blessed are you among women, she says to Mary. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. A little bit later, she will say, blessed is the one who believed what God promised. I think referring to herself. Because after all, when Zechariah didn't believe, he was silenced for a while. Elizabeth, who believed, was blessed. So in the presence of this visitor, she starts scattering blessings all around. Mary's blessed. Her child is blessed. Elizabeth is blessed. And then Mary breaks into her song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit gives thanks to God my Savior. We hear it every Advent. We have a name for it, the Magnificat, which is simply the first word in Latin of this song. And yet often we don't listen very carefully. Mary starts by saying that God has chosen the lowest of the low, herself, in order to bring to the world something that is beyond price. She says those blessings that were being shared with her and her child and Elizabeth are going to be passed on to all generations, generation after generation. Then she says how God is going to do that. And that's where the trouble starts. God is going to scatter the mighty in the imaginations of their hearts, in their arrogance. God is going to take the powerful and pull them down, and take the lowly and lift them up. Those who were rich and full will be empty, and those who were empty will be filled. God is going to come in and turn the world upside down, setting things right. Now, a lot of us find this threatening. I think that's why we don't listen to it, because we are the proud, and we are the powerful, and we are the rich, and we are the full. When you look at the rest of the world, we are all of those things. And so at first, it seems like God is just going to turn the tables, and who knows, maybe they will treat us as badly as we treated them. But let me give you another framework with which to view this. That doesn't really set things right if you just switch the people who are in power. I think something else is at work here. I think that the proud are scattered in the imaginations of their hearts and the powerful are pulled down because they have never experienced what it's like to be powerless, to express your need for food or housing or clothing or medical care and have nobody listen. They need to experience that. And those who have been powerless, who've had no voice, or at least no voice that has been heard, need to experience what it's like to have everything you need and more. Those who are full need to experience what it's like to be empty. I'm embarrassed by how many times in my life I've said, you know, I'm hungry. I have never been hungry a day in my life. I have never had a day, even when I was growing up in a house trailer as a child, that I did not know that I would have something to eat. There are people who do not know that, however. And in this song of Mary's, this one simple song, turning the world upside down, she's suggesting that the way God is going to pass on blessing is that those who have been full all along will experience what it's like to be empty. That's why we do the 30-hour famine with the youth, so they can get just a tiny taste of what it's like to live as one of those who can't choose whether to eat or not to eat. In turning the tables, those who are powerful get to experience powerlessness. And they find out they are kin to those who are powerless. Those who are powerless begin to experience what it means to have and exert power. They are related to those. We find our kinship to the other, those other people. It's too easy to dismiss those others, whoever they happen to be. To dismiss the full or the empty, the powerful or the powerless. Because you see, we are all in this together. We are brothers and sisters, or at least cousins like Mary, who is essentially powerless and the lowest of the low, and Elizabeth, who has been blessed with a child after many years, who is part of the elite, shall we say. We are just as related as they are. And a part of this season is a quest to find that kinship. Let me tell you a story about kinship. Growing up, I heard a lot of stories from my great aunt. I've told you that. Some of those stories were passed on by my mom. Some of those stories were about my great grandfather, George Washington Cherry, growing up in Stewart County. Some of those were about the early settlement of that region. Some of those were about the relations between the native peoples and the settlers in that region. Yet there was a story, there was a piece of a story that I was not told until after I was 40 years old. I had heard parts of it along the way. It seems there was a man named Bradley Self. Every time his name was mentioned in our family, he was called that old Bradley Self. Now, as I got older, I learned why he was not looked upon with favor in my family. Because you see, Bradley Self, living in the era prior to the Civil War in Stewart County, Tennessee, had two wives. Not in succession, but at the same time. In the same household. Had children by both. The two wives were sisters. Now, the good folks in Stewart County had no knowledge of such a living arrangement before this. Now, they had read in the Bible about the law of levirate marriage, where if your brother dies, you take his widow into your household and marry her and have children with her so his name will continue. But they knew they were not Old Testament Hebrews. What they didn't realize is that the custom among the Cherokee people was fairly similar, and that Bradley Self and both of his wives, the Taylor sisters, were all Cherokee. What I was not told till I was after 40 years old is that Bradley Self was also my great-great-grandfather. From the line of Bradley Self and the older of the two Taylor sisters, whose name, interestingly enough, was Elizabeth Taylor. How about that? And so that was our family's little secret, and I think we waited so long because there was some shame associated with that, both because of the circumstances and the ethnicity. But as a kid who grew up playing cowboys and Indians and thinking he knew which side he was on, it put me in quite a dilemma. Because you see, now I had a foot in both worlds. And those who had been described as other, as enemy, were now part of the family. Or I was part of theirs. I think that's what this season's all about. Discovering that kinship. That those we have defined as other are actually part of the family. 2 weeks ago, I talked about some of the difficulties that arise and have arisen in encounters between African-American young men and police officers. And I think at least part of that is due to the fact that police officers don't have the opportunity to get to know the people they are to protect. And the people in the community don't get a chance to get to know those officers who are supposed to be there to protect them. Last week, we talked a little bit about an interpreter, an interrogator in World War II who interrogated Japanese prisoners. And the reason he was effective was because he saw them as kin. He didn't see them as other or enemy. He saw them as kin. Because you see, in this season, we learned that we're all kin. And it doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what country you came from. It doesn't matter what language you grew up speaking. It doesn't matter what sexual orientation you were born with. It does not matter what difference there is between you and someone else. We are blood kin. That same blood that coursed through the umbilical cord of Mary feeding Jesus until he was born is that same blood that was spilled when spikes were driven through his wrists and his feet and made us blood kin. Every single person on earth. And so for this season, that's good news, isn't it? In fact, it's the good news. Thanks be to God. We remind ourselves of the good news in lots of ways. We sing hymns, we say prayers, and we also repeat affirmations of faith. I invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join me as we affirm our faith. We are not alone.
Good morning. West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right, following our worship service. And first-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, where you'll find information about the many ministries of our church and a fresh baked treat for you. I invite you to take note of the gray card in the pew rack. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card, please indicate any prayer requests you have, and record if these requests are to be shared or kept confidential. This card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Also, please take a moment to record your attendance. By passing the pew pad you find in the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of who you are worshiping with today and greet anyone you may not know at the end of this service. Let us now prepare to turn to God as we lift up our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Great God, we need to remember that how things are now is not how they have always been, and it's not how they always will be. We need to remember that your kingdom has come, that it is growing among us now, and that the time will come when it fills the world with justice and love. And so we pray for your coming. To those around the world whose poverty, pain, trauma, and grief make your kingdom feel like a dream, to those in our community who long to see your love and justice expressed through your followers, to those in your church who seek to be faithful and to make a difference while juggling the needs of their lives and families, and to us who long to know you more and to live as citizens of your kingdom in this time and place. May your coming be something we hope for, but also something we experience moment by moment. And now let us pray in the name of the one who brought your kingdom to earth as a child, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and our offerings.
Go forth to find kinship in all you meet, knowing that God loves us better than mother or father. Jesus Christ taught us how to be brothers and sisters, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to see the other with eyes that tell us they are our kin, with the eyes of Christ. Go in peace.